All right. Welcome to your first podcast, Loretta.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
So I'm Loretta. I am a leader at Equippers Napier. And I do a handful of roles there, really.
Good. So what was the trip up here like? You went and picked up Jackson first.
So we have E-group tonight, and it's a combined one.
Yes,
so
we do have E-group tonight that is being held here.
Yes, it is. And I really encourage carpooling, so I picked up Jackson.
Yeah, we have, because we have a combined tonight, so we have quite a few people coming.
Yeah.
So I asked the first starter question, what got you into church? I actually don't know, have you always been in church or?
So I grew up going to church as a family, and I was a part of a church called Life City Church in Auckland. But my family split up, and then I was raised by my mum and kind of stopped going to church, and I found myself seeking God when I was a teenager, and I found kind of like a little youth group that was close to my high school at the time. And then when I went to university, I was still seeking God, and I found a little Bible studies group at uni. And then I was invited to an encounter night at Equippers Church, and I found Equippers Church, and I was like, that's my church. That's what I've been waiting for.
I was there when you first came in, right?
I guess so, I think I would have been.
Funny, yeah. I get a lot of those, like, in Auckland City, a lot of, like, the youth group hangout things that they'll come to uni and they like walk up to you and they're like, hey, like, we've got this thing going on this weekend, do you want to come to it? And it's like, I actually do like a lot in church anyway, it's kind of like, sorry, like, I don't actually have time because a lot of that time is spent doing church stuff.
And back then, that's when they did the young adult camps. I got connected with attending a young adult camp when I knew no one.
Have you been to Stony Creek camp before?
For parachute?
They didn't do it at Stony Creek. So Stony Creek's like the little camp.
Oh, no. I can't remember.
Back when, do you remember the Swan Owls? Mm-mm. Back like quite a long time ago, we did a youth camp there, and they have go-karts, they have paintball, like rope swings.
I remember all of us
just like being in our own cabins. That was the biggest vibe. We did like these services in the hall.
The camps are always so good. I wish they still did them. Like, I know they do them for Revolution Ruth. Youth. Oh my gosh. Oh, tongue twister. But they don't do them for the young adults anymore, which is quite sad.
Did you go to parachute or were you festival one?
Parachute,
yeah.
That was
the vibe, like Family Force 5, Rapture Ruckus, Manifest, Skillet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was so much fun, though.
Those are good days.
People would bring like their like big inflatable couches into the concerts, because like just standing up.
Yeah.
The food as well, and the shops. Yeah, I remember so buying good. Like a book, and I used to write music in this book, and I lost it.
Oh no!
I've always wondered where that went, because I had so many songs that I'd written in it.
Yeah, good.
Parachuting, that was anyone who remembers, that was the place to be.
That was the place to be.
Because it was always like Jan, Feb, right?
It was just so good, like a space where, you know, all the churches are coming together and just like having so much fun. It was always summer, and yeah, it was just good.
All right, here's a question. What's your favorite part about the church?
My favorite part about the church? Okay, so my favourite part about the church, the reason why I love Equippers so much, and I also travelled New Zealand for a year and I just jumped in all the Equippers because they're all the same, but same vibes and everything. But the reason why I love Equippers is it's an active church. It's not a church that you just attend on a Sunday. Like, if you think it's that, you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's a very active church, and it activates your faith and it activates your growth in your faith.
Yeah, facts. Like, I remember, like, in school, like, back when I was in school, people were talking about, like, church, and, like, I'd be like, oh, you should come along. And they're, like, in their heads, they think of this, like, you know, you sit there with your book, and it's, the really, like, choir songs, everyone's sitting still, you go sit on the wooden chairs, and, like, just this really boring vibe. But it's, like, no, like, Equippers, it's a party. Like,
yeah, it's fun.
You go and have, like, a rave. And like,
absolutely.
One thing I love, like after services in Auckland, is they have the playlist that plays, and they've got like Forrest Frank playing in it.
Mm-hmm.
I flippin' love it when they play his music after service, because it's got that like that vibe that everyone just, you know, it's just easy to easy to talk and groove to and just enjoy it. It's not like
it's a vibe.
You don't feel like, okay, I have to go now. Like it's real tense and
yeah,
it's so much fun though.
Mm.
All right, let's get on to the first question. Was it? I think this was your least favorite one. What is, or least favorite to explain? What is God's love to you?
What is God's love to me? So God's love, it's the promises that he has for us. And it's his, I guess, like when you look in scripture and everything like that, like he's our peace. He's our forgiver. You know, he's the God of sacrificial love. You know, and those are the kinds of things that for me is his love. Like I can always rely on him. He's reliable. And yeah, I guess it's like, I can always trust that even like in the seasons that I'm not having the most fun time in or anything like that, I can always trust that God's got me and he's got the bigger picture. And for me, that's love.
Yeah. Yeah. Facts. Like, switching, like I told you, I switched up my whole life for like engineering and that thing, and it's like, it can, like, anxiety can kick in so easily.
Oh yeah.
To where it's like, oh my goodness, like I actually can't handle this. This is too much. But then it's realizing like, God set this plan specifically for you. He designed it the whole way through. He's not gonna make a trail for you and then go like, you know what? Here's a cliff. You've got to. You know, you just can't get past this. Oh, that sucks.
Like, yeah, yeah.
He's perfectly designed a bridge to get across it. It might be a scary bridge. It might suck.
Absolutely.
And it might break along the way, but, like, he's designed it so you can get across it to where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, a huge, when I get into those, like, anxiety moments, I'm just going to sit and go, he designed it. He knows what he's doing. I just need to keep going.
Yeah.
And trust that he knows exactly what's happened. And it says, like, he'll never put you in a situation that you can't handle.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just a big trust thing.
Absolutely. And it's cool because he's given us the tools.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he's
yeah.
given us the tools. He's given us the weapons. Like, you know?
And, like, obviously, like, the tools in the wrong hands, you know, like, if you use your gifts the wrong way, then they become a bad thing. But, yeah, as long as you're using them for God's giftings, what he's supposed, like, what you're supposed to do with them, then he, it flourishes.
Absolutely.
You know, and everything you do, do it to glorify him. And I was going to say that one, I can't remember what it was now. second question, what's the factor that you use to, like, or would say proves God's real to you? Or like, if you had to explain it to someone else as well.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. For me, I just see it as a very personal thing. And it comes down to, like, personal experience with God and revelation. So for me, it comes in two parts. So the first part is already from childhood, that when I hear worship, I feel connected to him immediately. It's just a feeling, and I can't really explain it, but I've always, worship's been like that first connection where I feel connected to God. And you know how you know that your mum loves you, even if she doesn't tell you.
Or doesn't show it.
It's just something that you know and you feel inside.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, like, worship was that like click or that light bulb moment where I just know my relationship with God. I know that he's real and I can feel that it's real. And then the part two of all of that is, like, as an adult, it's all about, I guess, like, for me personally, it's about kind of the journey that you go on. And part of that journey is being open to receive God. And when you're open to receive God, you start to get fresh revelation from him. And it's that fresh revelation that comes through that is kind of like reconfirming it all.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, for me, like, coming from, like, a engineer's perspective, I always had to, like, I always had to, like, look at it from the perspective of, like, creation, because logically, as, like, an engineer, I always had to go to the basis of creation, and sometimes my head would, like, wrap around and be like, is it actually, like, is it logical for God to exist or whatever? And I would start to, like, go down that rabbit hole, but then, like, the deeper you go, the further you actually see, like, it's impossible for creation not to exist without a creator. Like, anytime you've seen anything or used anything, anytime there's a problem with it or it goes really well, it's always, you've always got to look at it back from the person who designed it. You know, when you're fixing something, you've always got to fix it from the code, like a computer, you have to fix it from the code, which is going back to, like, the designer. And it was, like, just being outside and looking at, like, trees and the way everything works so perfectly. Like, what was it? The other day, yeah, I was helping my mate with, like, I was doing some work on a house. And simple things like fingernails, how well they're designed to work perfectly. Your eyes, you know, adjust to light perfectly. You've got two of them for a reason. The way everything is so synchronized to work perfectly
and
for each
everything,
other.
Everything, the planet, exactly. Like every part of our body, every part of the ear.
Exactly.
Like everything's the fact, like exactly perfect.
The fact that like you've got, you know, you've got two or three locations to breathe in, which backs up each other because, you know, breathing's vital and sometimes one of them can get clogged or your, you know, your mouth can be covered or whatever. It's like it perfectly works. And I remember the other day I was doing something as simple as like getting food out of my teeth or, you know, how you can like suction a straw to drink or whatever. I was like, something as simple as that, it popped into my head, and I'm like, something that simple has a design. Like, that just doesn't accidentally come about to where all these things are designed perfectly to be able to function as they're supposed to. And the same thing with, like, I've told you about, like the frequency theory, with, like, when God created the universe, he said, you know, let there be light, and there was light and all that, and he designed everything using his voice. Which your like voice is a frequency, it's a vibration. And then when you go down to like the atomic level of everything that exists, everything is vibrating, all your atoms, your protons, your neutrons, they're all moving. Everything's at a frequency. Every object moves at a frequency, which then again proves that it was created first from those sort of vibrations, from a voice. And the way like there's that test that was done, it's like if you have a jar, two jars, put rice in them, you put rice and rice and water in both of them, and you speak negative things to one jar and positive things to the other jar, the one that you speak negative things to dies quicker and it rots quicker.
Really?
Yeah. It's really fascinating.
Wow.
If you speak negatively to the jar with rice and water in it, it starts to go old and mold a lot faster than the one you speak positively to.
Wow.
Which then just emphasizes the whole, like, the fact that everything was created off voice and words and the power that words have, because it can affect, like, a lot of, like, if you go back in the day, I don't know how many people do it now, but, like, orchards and certain gardens,
what,
they speak
to the plants?
Yeah, they sing or they speak nicely to them, which flourishes,
I
as opposed to being like,
garden.
You're such a crap plant, like, you can't grow anything. And, you know, the next season it gives you, like, five fruits and it's like, oh, this piece of, it's like that sort of thing.
Oh, that's so
which
funny.
Is wild.
Yeah, I fully have a song that I sing when I water my plants. and all my indoor plants have names.
if I, when I'm watering Andrew's plants, he has so many, I'm not singing anything. The whole time I'm like, why the frick do you have so many plants? Like, I swear he's got like, he must have 20 plants. It
Maybe.
Takes like an hour to water all of them. Yeah, all right. Next question. What was the biggest decision or change you ever made for God?
Okay, so I don't have one specific example, but I have one that kind of blankets in more. And for me, just being obedient and saying yes is hard.
Facts.
Yeah, so like that's one of the hardest things for me is that, okay, so like, yes, I love God, I believe in God, okay, going to church, oh, I'm in an active church, and then you start to be active and be in the Bible and serve and all these things, and the more you dive into God and learn his character, the more you want to say yes, but it's hard because saying yes is almost nearly... every single time is you coming out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And so like, it is so true. And it's saying yes is so hard because usually what God is asking you to do is against your fleshly nature.
Yep.
And
which is testing.
Which is testing for
exactly.
sure. And so every time a question comes, I'm like, oh, like my first response always is like, no, but like I have to pray about it, think about it, talk to God about it. And then it's like, yes. And then you say yes, you step up in faith and like you get the job done and everything like that. But what comes out of it is a lot of growth.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, not just a lot of growth for yourself, but there's an extension that comes out for others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... In the past, like, I don't know, 6 months, God's, like, tapped into asking me to pray for people in public.
Yeah, yeah.
Which sucks. Like, it's...
hard.
When you're in the moment, you know, like, the first one, like, I told you guys at E-Group, like, I was walking down in the grocery aisle, and I'm, like, yeah, going to, like, get milk or whatever.
Mm.
And there's a lady there with legs that were, like, crooked out to the side. And then God was like, I want you to go pray for her. And I'm like... I don't think so. Like,
how about no?
Who do you think you are? And I was like, I was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. I was walking, it was just in my head. And I was thinking about like this podcast. I was thinking about the channel that I have. And I'm like, if I post all this stuff talking about God's love and God's healing, but I can't actually do it myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, then who the heck am I?
And there's no authority behind
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So I was like, I have to freaking do this. And I remember vividly, I was like pacing up and down the aisle and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And there's a movie, We Bought a Zoo. And he's like, I think he's called it like 20 Seconds of Courage or whatever.
Mm.
And I used that. And the funny thing was, is I went and I stood, I knew where she was. And I went and stood in front of the, and started in front of the milk section, looking, acting like I was searching for milk. Mm. While I was counting, I was like, all right, 20 seconds, 20 seconds of courage. Once this is done, I'm going to go pray for her.
Wow.
But the funny thing was I already had a bottle of milk in my hand, so I was just looking at milk. I had no reason to just look. I was just staring at milk, like, just waiting. Then I got to Sarah, and I was like, rightio. Turned around, walk up to her, and there's another lady with her. She didn't speak English, and they were kind of like, oh, like, I don't know if she'll understand. And I'm like, she doesn't need to understand it. But I was like, I prayed for them, and I was like, I left it. Being like, yep, I did what God asked.
Yeah.
And afterwards I felt great. But in the moment it's like,
yeah,
this is a bit weird. We're in a supermarket.
Like, if you're out of, yeah, it's yeah. hard.
How do you find God speaks to you?
So he speaks to me, he speaks to me through people, first of all.
Yep.
You're like, you have no idea. People come. But he also speaks to me through the word, speaks to me through worship, speaks to me through sermons. And one thing that I've figured out is that if it feels like a broken record, like you're getting the same message over and over again from like this person, then this sermon, then that song, and in your prayers and all that kind of thing, it's kind of like, okay, there's a pattern here. I think God's trying to tell me something, because you know, sometimes it can be quite tricky of like, is that me or is that God? But when it comes from other people and it's coming like the words coming over and over again, I'm like, oh no, that's God.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I always struggle with the head one. Like, I find God speaks to me more out of like strong feelings or dreams. Like, I have very, God loves to speak to me in dreams. Like, Mum studied dreams, and she has a big book where she can go through colors, animals, certain situations that they describe what it means biblically. And I find like I have dreams where I'll ask her to like tell me what they're about, whatever, what they mean. And often if they're in a cycle, completely different dreams, but they all have the same meaning. And they were like, there's always colors that, like, we had one that would say two different colors meant the same thing, but they're from two different dreams. And it's pretty crazy, the fact that like he speaks to me a lot in dreams, because like in my head I struggle more to differentiate my thoughts and his thoughts and the devil's thoughts.
Yeah.
When it comes to like making a decision that's going to change everything and being like, I don't know if that's actually like God speaking. So I kind of rely on the dreams. Yeah. And if they pop up in dreams, that's when I'm like, yeah.
I definitely believe that your sense of hearing for God's word in your own head comes with your journey. Like, I used to struggle with it quite a lot, but I feel like I hear him way more, like the further in my journey that I go with him. And just as an example, like it's part of like the obedient part and having faith and trust as well. Like, I remember a few weeks ago I was standing in church worshiping, and then God was just like, can you turn around and tell the person behind you to just dance? I was like, no. Worship is intimate. I'm not interrupting someone. And like,
you're like this, and you're like, hey, you should dance.
I know. And new so person. Like, I had to have that little battle with God. Like, oh no. But I still like trust and believe that when he speaks to me, like for me to be obedient and trust him. And then I turned around, told the person to dance, and then they bawled their eyes out, went up to the front and started dancing. I was like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but those were definitely not my thoughts. Like, yeah. And I can definitely say that maybe 5 years ago, it wouldn't have been like that. Like, I heard from him less. Yeah, so definitely, like, being on your journey and diving into God and his character and everything like that, you start to develop your ears to, like, hear his voice.
Yeah, like, I don't know, for some reason I worship in terms of, like, the church sense of worshiping, like, everyone in the same room, worshiping and the band and everything. I struggle a little bit more to tap into that.
Yeah.
And hear from God in that sort of worship sense.
Yeah.
I find for me it's more like I'm a big nature person. If I'm outdoors or I'm, like, stargazing at night and I put on worship music, I find that's more my spot to, like, where I feel God and I hear God and I can talk to him, as opposed to, like, you know, the band, everyone in a room.
Yeah.
I struggle to hear God in that sort of situation.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, everyone's different, but I like it.
Everyone's different for sure. And in saying that though, I feel like I'm way more in tune to hear God's voice for others and not myself. So I definitely need people to, like, speak into me, because I don't know if that's my voice. So
you need the people around you.
Yes. So I can definitely tap into that for other people. Like, God always gives me, like, scriptures for people, words for people, encouragement for people. But for myself, I'm like, hello, like, but yeah, and I find it harder to hear.
Yeah. I find if it's like that, it always comes in as a feeling, less of a thought. It's more of like, my body goes into like a, oh, I felt that. That's, you know, this person's feeling this, or this is correct what I'm thinking, or this is something I need to work on, or whatever.
Yeah, and I think I'm similar to you with nature as well. So if I have big decisions to make, or if I'm feeling quite stressed or have anxiety or anything like that, like, my first thing to do is to, like, cut connection, like, you know, airplane mode on your phone. I might go, like, camp out Lake Tutera for the night, or go up into the ranges, into a hut, and stay for 2 days. And I just disconnect myself, because for me, I cannot not see God in nature. And
Yeah.
And my headspace clears, like, all the scribbles and the thoughts, it all clears when I'm in nature. And so then I can just be me and God, and nature is me and God time. So,
like, when I used to get quite bad, like, anxiety attacks, like, I never thought about, like, going and, you know, getting, like, the pills that people have for them, because I was like, I just can't do that. I'm like, your body's designed to naturally be able to cope with stuff that I'm like, I shouldn't need to take it, which I understand some people do need it,
but yeah.
For me, I was like, I knew that I didn't and I could get through it, and it took a while, but, like, one thing I learned to do was, like, for starters, the worst thing you can do is stay sitting down. If you have, like, an anxiety attack, if you're just sitting down or you're in your room, worst place to be, because you're not doing anything. You know, everything can flush into your head and you just let it flow through.
Yeah.
And so what I'd done was I'd go outside. It'd look really weird from another person's perspective, but I would, like, stand really close to a tree and just look at it.
Hi, tree. Just
someone else's perspective. I'd walk past and be like, that dude's a bit strange. Just staying there staring at a tree. But yeah, like, I would look at it and it's fine. I'd look at it and I'd look at the detail of the tree and, like, see just all, like, you know, there'd be an insect maybe, or to see the, like, the mold and the dew that's, like, growing on it.
Being present. Everything.
Yeah. And it would kind of just suck me back into, like, this is a real object.
Mm-hmm.
It's growing. Yeah. It's got life. And it would kind of just, it'd suck me back into, like,
reality.
This is what's going on in my head. But this is real. I don't need to stress about this, because you're just going to take it as it comes. Like, instead of, you know, it's like when you're going for, like, a driving test, people that think about driving, you know, they go through all the different things in their head, being like, They cram all of the situations that could possibly go wrong into like a 10-second time span.
So that's like, me.
I hit this person. I forget to indicate. I accidentally go over this. I go through a red light. I don't change lanes properly, or I smash into someone, or someone hits me. And they put all these situations that could go wrong into a 10-second period.
Yeah.
But then when you're actually driving, everything comes as you get to it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, now I'm going to change lanes. Indicate, look, change lanes. Now, you know, 30 seconds ahead, now you're going to come up to an intersection. And everything comes as it goes instead of like, intersection change. Like everything just, everything at the same time. And you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I find that's like where the anxiety comes in. It's like, you take all the bad stuff that could possibly go wrong,
mm-hmm.
and put it all into a 10-second period. And you're like, oh my gosh. You're like, I'm screwed.
Mm-mm.
But going back to like the question of like what proves God's existence to you, how would you explain God's existence or proof in a sense to someone else? Because, you know, for someone else, it's like a feeling that you have, you can't give them that feeling.
Yeah.
And so it's like you've got to try to go like as much as you can, obviously, because they've got to feel it eventually. But
yeah, well, I don't know. That's just personally like how I went through it. I'm not the greatest at debating faith in the Bible and God. Definitely not the greatest at that. But for me, it's just power through testimonies. And
that's actually
yeah, yeah, because people can't argue against testimonies. Mm. So
they will try.
If they try to argue your own testimony, like you can always just point and encourage the testimonies of others. Because I mean, like God's done so much.
Yeah, because like I notice like when people tell stories of like things that have happened in church, and a lot of them are quite like surreal. It can be like people listen to it and they're kind of like, that sounds fake. Like that's not a real story. And it's like it's quite hard to push that, or not push it, but like explain it to people.
Mm-mm.
And I like, especially like at uni in engineering, I find the best way for me to describe it to people is that whole frequency theory,
mm-hmm.
where like, because obviously everyone else has theirs engineers, and they're in the same sort of boat as me, the same sort of mindset, and I find it's a lot easier to describe it in that sense because it's understand it in that way. Whereas like, you know, if I were to go up to someone that, I don't know, is, let's just say, they're only a musician or a teacher, like it's quite hard to explain it to them as such.
True. Yeah, I've never been good at explaining things, so testimonies. But testimonies also like hit different people, you know? Like your frequency thing might not like be receivable for someone.
Exactly.
They'll be like, eh? You know? So but with testimonies you get different kinds of people having different kinds of stories and having different kinds of breakthroughs.
Yeah, here's a good question. All right, yeah, the question. what did you change in your life to get closer to God?
All right, so that all came from journeying. So if you haven't been living Christ-like and you're new to the faith and everything like that, it can be quite overwhelming because at first you just see it as a book full of rules, you know, and you're like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, and oh, I feel judged and all of that, and it's just completely overwhelming. But when you start to dive into the Word, go to church, learn about God and His character, and you start to journey, it's almost like a transformation happens within. So instead of viewing it as like a book full of things you can't do, it's actually your heart starts to change. And when your heart starts to change, you start to want different things. And those different things are the things that God wants for you.
Mm.
So, and it doesn't happen overnight. And a lot of it can be battles and struggles as well, because, you know, we're fleshly and we're created fleshly and we're created with will. And when you start diving into your journey, it can feel quite harsh, like to make those changes or to make any changes. And so like for me personally, things came really slowly So when I found Equippers in Napier, that was kind of like the beginning of me putting my roots down, and not in a physical place either, but in my faith. So before then, I had always believed in God and always loved God. But yep. from Napier, from that was 7 years ago, that's when I started to really follow Jesus. And that's when all the changes started to happen. And at first, the changes were quite slow, because I was in a church space where I was needing healing, and I was needing forgiveness, and I was needing God to show me his love. And then it came to a point where it's like, okay, Loretta, I've shown you my love. I've shown you where you've had healing. I've given you forgiveness. Now it's your turn to start being obedient to me, and and start serving and things like that. And so my going to church started becoming not just for myself, but for other people. And when that happened, that's when the transformation started, where I started making changes. So there could be something as simple as, okay, I'm actually going to read my Bible. First change. Yeah. Another change would be like, okay, I'm not going to drink like crazy. Like, once upon a time.
Just drink less crazy.
Once upon a time, I would drink real crazily and often.
Yeah.
And now, I feel like I drink more responsible now.
Yeah,
and
like, I've got like a Corona sitting on the table, and like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't drink to get wasted. Yeah, and no, be like, exactly. That's the aim of the time. Like, yeah.
My guilty pleasure is like, if I'm going to work on my car, or I'm going to like, I'll sit in the hot tub, I'll grab a Corona. Like, nothing's better than like working on the car, just, you know, or filming something and just having a Corona just to have a quick drink, and it's just nice, it's relaxing, but it's not like, you know, you're not scaling them down to.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I used to have the mindset with like be prepared, like the aim of the night is to get as wasted as I can, like, you know, and now the change is that I have a drink to enjoy the drink. Like last night I had a gin, one gin, not 10.
Yeah.
So, and like, that's a kind of change that happens, and it didn't happen from going, oh, that's a rule in the book. That came from like transformation in the heart.
Yeah, it changes. Yeah, and like, I noticed the whole like fleshy desires, like for example, like alcohol, sex, all that sort of thing. And it's like, God designed them to be good things.
Mm-hmm.
He designed our bodies perfectly the way they're supposed to be, but then it's like, when you're going to like a church perspective and you're removing this sort of stuff, it can seem like it's a bad thing. Like people take it and they're like, oh, you know, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. But it's like, some things, obviously, you know, I won't do. Like I won't go to a club, I won't do that sort of thing. It's like, but the general sense of like alcohol, like Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. And so it's like, it's not a bad thing to have these, but it's just the fact that when you're with God, you limit it in those senses, if you know what I mean?
Mm.
We got someone that walked in. Is it Jesse?
Don't know.
Jesse Manns. Welcome.
So there's actually, that was just one example with the drinking, but there's many, many, many changes. So many. Like everything when it comes to the way we use money, like stewarding our money, tithing, sex, all of those things. People relationships. For me, a big one is relationships. Like I've always been in unevenly yoked relationships, and I had to really battle that with God.
Yeah. Come say hi, Jesse. Just come jump over here. We'll move the.
Hi there.
This is Jesse Manns.
You need to go. Why are you gonna leave him? Let's go.
Right. Last thing. This is the one you were actually thinking really like hard on.
Wait, which one?
What is one thing you want to leave with the listeners?
Okay, so I've got a scripture here. Let me just get it out.
I was waiting for you to go, that camera's not recording. Don't lie to me.
Okay, so I've got this scripture here, and it's from 2 John. Oh my gosh, I don't have my glasses. I should have got that. Anyway.
Don't know it off by heart?
No, no, I don't know it off by heart. it's pretty much love one another and walk in obedience to his commands. and walk in love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just bringing it back to love God, love people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, showing love is showing God. So that is, yeah.
Yeah,
people will see God through your actions.
That reminds me of the, I should know what it is, but I don't. That love is patient, love is kind, it does not boast, it's not mm-hmm. envy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, all about love. But then, you know, we could take it back to, what was the pastor we had over?
Pastor Will.
Pastor Will, yeah. And he's like, patience should actually come first.
Yeah.
Which is kind of vibes in a sense.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining the first podcast, Loretta.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking
me. I hope you enjoyed. This will be going on YouTube. We have Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and a couple of others. I can't remember what they are. But, yeah, it's been fun. Ready to get these going. And anything else you want to say?
Not really.
I finished. Yeah, dislike, unsubscribe. No, but yeah, add this, share it, and make sure you're following the podcast Spotify page for all the new episodes that come out. And yeah, I hope you guys, I don't know what to end. I've never had to, like, I actually have had to end podcasts, but I don't know
how
to do it.
I think you need a close-off, like, thing that you do every time.
I'll close it off.
What's our podcast sign-off?
Later, guys.
Later, nerds.
Do you have, like, a saying that you like to say?
Or usually, like, on YouTube, it'll just be like, hope you guys enjoyed this, like, subscribe, and I'll see you guys in the next one.
No, you need something, I don't know, like,
we need a signature podcast sign-off. What is it?
Oh, you're going to have to think about that one.
I am going
to
think about it.
Or if you have a, I don't know.
Yeah, what?
A cool scripture you can, like, turn into a sing-song.
You were going to sing a song. I'll get the piano out. Dun, dun. This is, thank you for listening. Maybe we should leave it up to the listeners to try figure out, and we can have one for next time.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Well, for this first podcast, we're just going to finish on a
challenge.
On a challenge. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, on a challenge.
What's the challenge, Loretta?
Well, they got to come up for an ending for the podcast.
No, sorry. Yeah, that is a challenge. I thought you were meaning like a, never mind.
Say yes to God.
Yeah, say yes to God. Yeah, so there's your challenge. Figure out what our finishing line is going to be. But yeah, we'll see you guys in episode 2. Make sure to add this to your favorites. Peace.